just be the start of a dynasty. This is history being written. The greatest moment I've seen in Premier League football.
Hey, welcome back to Across the Pond, a Premier League podcast hosted by those on this side of the pond. You got Chris here in D.C., Shay all the way on the West Coast, Portland, Miles in New York City, Jacob somewhere in the middle of the nation, Nashville. How's everyone doing? 1 week left in the season, less than 1 week. I mean, by the time people listen to this, we're talking 5 days left in the Premier League. This is insane, y'all. This is insane. There was drama today. FA Cup final was this past weekend. What's good?
What's the Premier League? I haven't heard of this league you're referring to, Chris.
Where Man City wins all the time and Miles is wearing light blue, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
Oh, nice to hear your voice, Jacob. Nice to hear your voice. I'm an NWSL fan. You know, I went to my first Portland Thorns game, and I must say I was surprised. The experience was fantastic. And I didn't know, did you know, maybe I just live under a rock. Maybe I really do. Did you know Meg Rapinoe was on the OL Reign?
She had been hurt for a little bit, but yeah.
See, okay, so she didn't start, and I saw her coming in 66 minutes. I was like, what? And I just went total fanboy mode. I was watching it the whole game. My eyes were fixed on one person, and they drew 0-0. But it was a very exciting 0-0 game. So
yeah. I mean, all rain's being wrecked by the Spirit, though. So
I'm a Thorns fan, so, you know.
I love it, though, Shay. I love it. I mean, Miles said Premier League's over now. Now that Erling Haaland's coming to the league, he said the league's over for years to come, so... You know, you're already on to bigger and better things. That's great.
Chris, you can come join. Look, Erling Haaland was captured in the bar, in the club over the weekend. This guy was pouring bottles, probably out there like Chris. I was surprised, Chris, I didn't actually see you in there based on your behavior this weekend. I thought you might be there next to him. You know, Haaland was behind the bar. This guy's ready, man. He's getting prepared. You know, it's time to give up. Look, go back to the club.
There's a lot to celebrate, guys. I mean, Liverpool won the FA Cup again in shootout style. That's their second piece of silverware this year. A lot of silver in Liverpool. However, there's more opportunities for silver for some teams before the end of the season. There's more opportunities.
You know, it's so interesting because I was explaining to someone this weekend how significant it is that Liverpool could win all four. And they can still win all four. I still believe that they're still in that Premier League title race. But if they don't win the two competitions they're left in, and we know what those are, Premier League and Champions League, do you still think, okay, I have two scenarios. If they win all four, is this the best Premier League team of all time? I just need a yes, no answer. And if they don't win the next two, so Champions League and Premier League, did the team underachieve?
Yes, best team ever if they win all four, definitely. Mm-hmm. Two, I don't think underachieve. Hard to, when you're in the final, right? I think the Champions League would be the only disappointment because they're in the final, right? But having two pieces of silverware, winning the FA Cup, they haven't won in 16 years. Still remember watching the FA Cup final. Chris, Jacob, you remember it well. Steven Gerrard's banger from distance. What a sweet moment. So winning that hasn't been a long time. Klopp has now won every trophy he can win. TAA, youngest player to win every trophy he can win. So... No, Shay.
Hasn't won the Community Shield yet, Miles.
That's true.
People on IG and Twitter love to point that one out.
That is true. A little asterisk there, yeah. I think.
In regards to expectations and not meeting them, Shay, if they don't win Premier League, which still a lot of help needed after City dropping points this weekend, and if they don't win Champions League, I don't think Liverpool underachieved. I think being in this position, as you said, significant. You know, we're talking about this coming down to the final days of the season. Sure, Arsenal, for example, those fans will be disappointed that they didn't make the top four this year and crumpling at the end. In this case for Liverpool, it's a totally different scenario in that we're dealing with a team that is greatness in Man City and Real Madrid, who has knocked out two other English competitors in Champions League. I think if you look at Liverpool's season last year and you look at how they barely made top four and the injury struggles and all of that, and Klopp getting this team back into competing in all four competitions, really competing. I think it's a great season, and I think the players at this point, like, they just want it. They want it bad.
Man, it's a good season. It's not a great season. This is like that, you know, the debate we once had with Shay told us that Everton was a good team, but not a great team. It's very fine, but as you guys know, I think you got to win your domestic league, and you know, losing by a point, that's not winning it, that's still losing it, right? And so again, I would much rather, I'm glad that there are trophies in the cabinet, but I just feel that a league, in order to be part of a pantheon of great teams, you need to win the league. And I get it. You're right, Chris. They are losing out to Man City in an extraordinary team. And if they lose the Champions League final to Real Madrid, they're losing out to, you know, a great team, right? A team that really, you know, if you look at who they've beat in their run up to the title, is incredible. So it's second to none, but it's still second. And so I would still class, you know, the team that beats Man City in its own domestic league and wins that as the best team. And I think, Miles, we've talked about this a bunch of times. It keeps getting raised. That 2019-2020 team, I mean, all the records they had, that team, I mean, you can't overlook that.
I mean, during a COVID year and crapped out of Champions League in the quarterfinal, that team?
Correct. And we'll never know if it wasn't for the COVID disruptions, what might have been. So I think we take that in an asterisk unto itself. But as an overall performance across the entirety, I think it was very special. And they bossed the domestic league. And I think I get it. You're right. The COVID, we have to take that into account. But they did such solid work, you know, up until what they had the loss to, who was it? Was it Watford? Watford, was it Southampton? I can't remember who blew them out, but it really took something massive like that. I mean, we were talking about them going undefeated. That's how good that team was. This is a great team, but I want to make all those judgments at the end of the cycle.
And I think it's fair to say this is not the greatest Man City team we've seen, seeing as how they've won majority of the last Premier League titles over the last decade. So, you know, just to change the topic, if you're saying you're not going to win Premier League, we might as well talk about who is going to win it. Then Moz called out, and Man City will be for the next five years or so. We might as well shut it down with Haaland.
Liverpool's got to win the league now. Otherwise, you know, but we should probably move on, Chris. I don't want it to get you depressed. I don't want to get our listeners depressed. You know, I'm working through it myself. Okay. I'm dealing with this. I got a good support system to help me through this. So we should probably move on.
I'm in a good place. I mean, Jacob, I appreciate Jacob's perspective and expecting all the competitions to be won. It's just, I mean, this is an African Cup of Nations year. They've drawn City both times. They're actually, Liverpool beat City this season in the FA Cup. City's not done the same. And so there are fine margins here. Liverpool did win the FA Cup this weekend against Chelsea in another penalty shootout, second domestic cup this season that went into penalties. Liverpool just getting the better of them. This time, people actually missed before the final shot. Overall thoughts on that sort of cagey match, 120 minutes of football, some early substitutions. Any takeaways from that FA Cup final? Were you entertained and all that?
You know, I'm sure, you know, you all want to speak on the game a little bit, but I'd like to just go straight to the meat, the penalties. Oh, my goodness. Reece James is probably the calmest dude I've ever seen take a penalty. That guy stepped up, let hardly any backflip, lift, smacked it, and then just walked off. Like, the dude was cooler than James Milner stepping up. And I think he hasn't gotten enough love. I mean, Chris, you know what I'm talking about. This guy was calm, unfazed. He just got the job done. I was very, very impressed with his performance. On the flip side, Sadio Mane, I mean, come on, man. You're going up against your friend. This is like if you got to take a penalty against Shea, or Shea, you got to take a penalty against Chris. Like, come on. You got to score it. You can't let that get saved.
Standards you're setting, Miles.
Yeah, he's got to put that away. He's one of our best players, you know what I mean? It's like up against his friend. They've done this in practice. He should know. Like, the guy, look, he knew enough.
Same about Mendy against Sadio? Like, same situation? He knows his tendencies? Like,
yeah, I would. But that's why Mane has to be, like, come on. He's got to do something. Look, he knew enough to tell Mendy in the AFCON final which way Salah was going. So, like, come on, man.
Good point, Miles. Good point. I wonder, because if Salah was there, wouldn't Salah have gone fifth and Mane probably would have gone higher up in the order? Or Mane may not have gone at all. I mean, I was so surprised that Henderson didn't step up earlier as the captain. I didn't see Tsimikas coming. I thought those were some interesting penalties. But I for a second, I was like, oh, no. Like, Mane lost it for us. And I was watching on repeat. And then when I got home, I saw that on our text message thread, there was something like, you know, 150 text messages. And I couldn't interpret whether that was 150 good or 150 bad. So I had to watch for 3 hours you know, feed my baby during that 3 hours while I watch that game. It was nerve wracking. I thought it was a great final, almost carbon copy of the League Cup. And, you know, what a player Diaz is. I mean, we keep saying it every week he plays. He's making his case for the Champions League final. And I hope that they, you know, now consolidate and focus on that final. And, you know, the Mo Salah injury and the Virgil van Dijk, you know, those things got my heart in my heart in my mouth, because, you know, we want to win. I'd love to win silverware, but I hope these guys are, you know, focused on the Champions League final rather than the league.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. We saw very notable players leave the field early in that final, on both sides. A few moments in soccer, you know, this late in the season where you really start to see, like, explicit substitutions, knowing what people are doing here. You know, Fabinho not getting any time in that game, Salah coming off early and walk. He almost looked like he was comfortably walking off the field. And to take, you know, arguably your best player off in the 25th minute of a final is wild.
Yeah, you know, speaking of subs, Chris, can we just talk for a moment about the Loftus-Cheek substitution? I mean, like this guy came on, like, to play striker one, and then, like, probably, I don't even know his how many minutes he actually got, but, like, maybe 10 minutes later came off. Like, what is the, like, okay, is Barkley that much better at taking penalties? This guy hasn't kicked a ball all season. Like, Shay, I don't know what you made of that, but, like, I just thought that was just a waste of substitution. I don't know if he, like, really pissed off Tuchel or something. Like, what made really no sense to me?
I thought Loftus butt cheek was injured. Isn't that why he came off? There was that tackle in the corner. I didn't think it was straight for penalties, but even if we want to say that, even if it wasn't injury related, you know, Barkley's penalty was badass. I mean, and then let's admit, we all forgot he played for Chelsea, right? I think that's the most surprising thing, right, Miles? Yeah.
I would have been, I expected Danny Drinkwater to come on right after him. and no confidence in Timo Werner at all. Didn't get him on the field at all. And Miles, I mean, your point, like, Tuchel not bringing him on at all.
I mean, he decided to go with Loftus-Cheek up top over Timo when, like, in the game, you think, like, his speed would be an asset, right? But I don't know. I mean, interesting in terms of, like, you know, obviously that signals stuff, not just to us watching, but the players, and, you know, could be a statement for next season also. So you're right. To bring in not bring an attacker on the end of the game like that.
Yeah, I think that's a team that's severely underachieved, Chelsea. I mean, from what we knew they were capable of at the beginning of the season with all the signings, and then all the banter we had when they signed Lukaku and how he was so great at Inter Milan and he was going to come back and tear up the Premier League, you know. And then, I don't know, just like a wealth of midfield and Mason Mount getting better this season and Mendy playing a full season. I mean, that team is severely underachieved.
And they might not even finish third. They're 1 point or 2 points up on Spurs right now in the table. Yeah. Could finish fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris, I think that's a good point. You know, you heard Klopp talking about, you know, in his press conference ahead of tomorrow's game versus Southampton, just what a toll that extra 30 minutes has taken. And if you look at Chelsea's injuries throughout the season, they've struggled to keep Reece James fit. Thiago obviously had his issues. Azpilicueta, like, they've had injuries in that team this season. You wonder whether or not that will, you know, how taxing that is on their squad. You're right, as they look to finish third. And I think, you know, we can talk about this later, but I think Spurs are in the ascendancy, which means that there's a chance for them to be Spursy on the final day of the season and Spurs it up, right? It gives us the possibility, but I really feel like they are on the up and up there. But yeah, Shay, you're completely right. When we talk about, like, at the end of this, you know, flops of the season, you know, from a transfer perspective, I think we have to talk about Lukaku. I think we have to talk about some of the Man City players, but Lukaku would definitely be in that conversation. I mean, I think that's the sole reason I think Chris and I, maybe others, picked Chelsea to win the title. And for them to come away with no silverware this season, to me, is very surprising.
Yeah, it's just so surprising. Like, give me you guys' thought, because I didn't watch the whole game, just parts of it. But, like, I would expect Chelsea to just dominate a game in terms of, like, midfield presence, because they have so many players who are so ball creative, right? And then you look at how the game played out, 0-0, which I was a little surprised by, because I know Chelsea's defense is strong and Liverpool continues to be strong in every facet of the game. But I just thought there would be I thought Chelsea would be able to run at Liverpool, maybe not create chances in the final third, which they didn't, but be able to control the majority of the attacking presence.
But this season, Chelsea has been the team that I've been most worried about. When, and obviously Liverpool have played Chelsea, you know, four times this season, two cup finals, right, twice in the league. And they have been the games that I've been most worried about because they do have, they are very tough defensively. And, you know, they do manage with, I still don't quite understand Tuchel's formation, or like, I just don't really think that it works so well for him. I just don't think he's playing to players' strong suits. But yeah, I mean, you would think, right, Shay, with the quality they have in the midfield, the attacking creativity, someone like Lukaku on the bench, who's, you know, one of the world-class strikers, that they'd be able to do the business. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, honestly, with Lukaku not working, we don't know if that's a question of Tuchel, or maybe it's him. You know, is it me or is it you? But obviously, you know, they're lacking in that final third there. And we've seen, like you say, Shay, I know you love, I always think about you because you say, you know, the goals have come by committee for Chelsea. We don't have any one player that's really dominating the goals. You know, Mount gets some, Pulisic gets some, Havertz gets some, James gets some. So, you know, they don't really have that focal point in attack.
Well, they're as reliant on their fullbacks to provide opportunities as Liverpool are. I think the kind of the challenge is, do they really have the people to finish off the moves? You know, when they get that great service, do they have people in the box to finish them off? I hate to say it, maybe they need someone like Alvaro Morata. No, I'm joking. Or Higuain, I'm joking, Miles. I see your face. I know we both thought that they were going to tear it up. There's some probably of our worst Chelsea calls have been around
both
strikers.
No, Miles, both
Falcao.
Both.
Oh, Miles on Falcao. I forget.
Falcao, yes, but both. No. Don't put me in that bucket.
Who was it? Who was it? Who thought Morata was going to kill? Was it Chris?
No, it was me.
No,
was me.
That was Chris and Jacob.
Yeah, I remember Chris saying he thought Morata.
Chris is hiding. That was Chris and
Jacob. Okay, was that because we'll find the tapes? But they're as reliant as Liverpool are the wingbacks to provide with, and I mean I really. You know, I don't understand Marcus Alonso as a player. You know, I don't, you know, quite frankly, I forgot that they had Chilwell. So I still think there's a lot that team can do. Maybe they're denied a bit of the flexibility because you can play Chilwell and James. Alonso, Azpilicueta, they get a lot of defensive looks. Obviously, losing Rudiger is going to expose, I think, that back line significantly. And the way Conte's played this season, you wonder, Speedy Gonzalez, you know, if the roadrunner, if he's maybe lost some legs, as everyone has with the amount of fixtures, just to kind of continue to turn over. But yeah, that striking core is interesting. I would like to maybe think that we're going to see in the future maybe more Havertz paired with somebody else in the transfer market, having him play through the middle is better. But this was the same evolution that happened under Guardiola without playing with a center forward, trying to figure it out without a true kind of, as we would think, a center forward. But Kaku hasn't fit, and I think they'll find someone who will eventually.
Well, Chelsea still play Leicester on Thursday this week, as well as Watford at the weekend, a London derby to finish the season. Chelsea ends the season no silverware. Liverpool wins their first FA Cup since 2006. I was surprised it wasn't Arsenal again this year. They've won it so many times in recent years. But, y'all, in the league this weekend, we had some pretty interesting results on Sunday and today. Obviously, West Ham, Manchester City 2-2. Spurs 1, beating Burnley 1-0. Everton losing to Brentford 3-2. And Newcastle upsetting Arsenal 2-0. Arsenal now dropping down to fifth. With that, what are your thoughts on some of the action this weekend? Some drama building up into the final day of the season.
Yes, my first thought is you all ripped on me at the beginning of the season for where I put Brentford. Chris, you were even guilty of it too. I know, but you have since repented. But, you know, that team, you know, really have done a remarkable job. They're sitting in 11th place right now. This team that I'm sure a lot of people thought, a lot of people on this podcast and extended podcast members also thought was going to be crap. So, I mean, beating Everton, nothing sweeter than that, really. I mean, three goals, beating them 3-2, Everton with two red cards. I mean, what is going on there? So that just kind of looks like a bit of a disaster for Everton when they really need to be focused going into these last two games. But yeah, just want to drive home the point about Brentford. Jacob, I think it's time.
Oh, No. Miles. You know what? The pride cometh before the fall, my friend. This is Sheffield 2.0, right? Because everyone had low expectations for them. They've now exceeded. Just wait till next season. I mean, it's all been
next season.
No, I know, but none of our expectations were wrong. In fact, it took the quality and class of a real playmaker and provider in Christian Eriksen to bridge the skill gap between the bottom half of the table and the relegation zone to mid-table. I don't think that this means that that you know they're a Premier League fixture, that they're going to stay. They won't get relegated next season, but it did take that bit of brilliance and, you know, the foresight to bring in another Dane into that club. Probably a lot of that lies on Thomas Frank. I'd imagine the Danish infrastructure that they have there did a lot. I think Thomas Frank, honestly, Miles, I'll give you some credit, deserves a shout for manager of the season. But they're going to have to do more. Ivan Toney's going to have to do a lot more next year to convince me, you know, that that he's the real deal in a Premier League striker. I mean, it's Everton. I mean, Miles, it's Everton. But yeah, still, point holds.
Yeah, you got to love it. I mean, that bottom of the table is looking pretty crazy. Shea, your boy leads with a dramatic last minute goal. I mean, what are you thinking here, Shay? They're safe.
I would like Leeds to stay, right? Like, that would be an exciting team to continue to see them have their Premier League run. But to your point, Brentford's been a strong team. I think Brentford's going to get a point against them, right? And then you think about Burnley having two games in advantage, Aston Villa and then Newcastle, both really hot teams. And then Everton against Crystal Palace and Arsenal. So like I said last week, I didn't think any of these teams were going to get a single point, which you mean the table to stay as is. But luckily, Leeds got a point. I mean, me personally, I'd rather see Burnley go down to Leeds. Sean Dyche is gone. Just keep the whole team gone. You know, I'll be okay if they're gone for good. I think the more exciting thing is the Arsenal-Tottenham toss and turvy, because I had a feeling, I think I put it in a group chat, a different chat. I was like, if Arsenal beats Tottenham, right? Or sorry, if Tottenham beats Arsenal midweek when they play midweek, then Tottenham's going to end up getting in the top four. And then you just see Arsenal shit the bed against Newcastle. Strong team, granted, right, since the December transfer window. But, I mean, wow, what a terrible loss today. And that team, I mean, yeah, you always say that, yeah, they have youth, the upside is positive. But, I mean, they would be extremely disappointed in how the season went, too.
It just shows you how quickly fortunes can change, like, at the end of the season. Like, really sort of set the tone for this summer and into next year. Like, people have been so happy with Arteta leading. You know, he's had, you know, other people that he's feuded with at the club, you know, actually show up at Emirates now. And then, like, losing to Spurs three matches before the end of the season, or two matches before the end of the season, potentially not getting top four. Like,
yeah, this is what we need Arsenal fan TV for. I would love to watch that after the Spurs match and after the match today versus Newcastle. Because you're right, they have shit the bed. But I think saying that, well, this is Arteta's fault, I think just kind of is maybe misaligned. I mean, you have a lot, and we talked about it after the Spurs game, where they have a very young and inexperienced squad. And there are times out there where it looks like they're missing real leadership. I mean, Xhaka can't do everything, right? I mean, I think he's got the qualities to be a leader, but maybe not the abilities to single-handedly lift a team out of that. And it's certainly not going to get better next year with the talk about them losing Lacazette. So I think this is a story to watch. We have to see how they finish, because that's going to very much color how we look at what their summer business is going to be and the start of next season. But, you know, Arteta has done a good job. And, you know, so is Eddie Howe. Like, if you watch that Newcastle game today, he has, and I guess that's why he's been nominated as a manager of the season for raising them up, but he has made Joel Linton a incredible central midfielder.
It's the bleach, man. It's the bleached hair. They're all trying to be like Howe out there. It's looking good, too. Him and Bruno?
I will say full credit for Arteta at the end of that game. You know, he was going for it, because they only had, like, two defenders left on the field. They had like Cedric and Ben White, and then everyone else, like, they brought on all their attackers. It's like, we gotta win. But we didn't really talk about the London Derby, but just, I mean, that's just poor. Losing 3-0 to Spurs, they were so poor in that game. I mean, come on, that's terrible. Chris, I see you shaking your head, but
I've seen Chris make those tackles before in the same game. I've seen him do both. I don't know, I just thought that Ben White would have been ready to play. It's kind of what I thought was going to happen. But yeah, did you see in the North London Derby where they panned to him in the stadium. He's there. I honestly thought it was David Beckham for a second.
He is swaggy. Shay, I'm curious to get your thoughts on Ben White. You've been quiet about him, but he is swaggy. He's got like the tats look good. His hair looks good. Am I crazy?
He's making Grealish Gucci money. Yo, Arsenal basically have to win and they need Spurs to lose on the final day of the season. Is it going to happen or are they out?
No.
Arsenal's Spurs. Out. And Ben White looks like a little kid, Miles. So no, I don't think he's very swaggy. But yeah. I think Arsenal's out. I mean, your momentum's scary. And what more Arsenal thing to do than to not make it? I don't think they necessarily lose. I just don't think they make it into top four.
No.
If that makes sense. Like, I don't think they lose to Everton. Maybe they get a draw, but I don't think they make it into top four.
Another London club going through an emotional match this weekend. West Ham drawing Manchester City after being up. What a dramatic match. Turning Jacob's non-story into a story for a couple minutes on Twitter.
Yeah, and now we're back to a non-story again, except that we do have a story to talk about, and that's Mikel Antonio. Just put the ball in the back of the net. Come on, man.
I honestly don't know what's worse. Mikel Antonio ending that moment with what he did there against Ederson, or Koufal for some reason diving for a header that goes in his own net. Like, there's no need for Koufal to head that ball either. Like, I don't – both of those moments blow my mind.
I don't know. We're all West Ham fans, and if you're a Liverpool fan, you know, now you're an Aston Villa fan. Yeah, maybe Gerrard can redeem the slip, right? Look, City had the penalty. Mahrez missed the penalty. I don't get Mahrez as the penalty taker. Is it just me? Like, you have KDB who's absolutely on fire right now. Yeah, City were good enough to win that game. And, you know, you hope for a miracle on the last day of the season, right, Chris? What game are you going to be watching? That's the question.
Well, I mean, all the games are at the same time. You got to watch them all at the same time. You know, you got to have this. If you don't already have multiple screens or have a situation where you can watch at least three games at once, now is your time. It is. By the time you listen to this, it's going to be Tuesday. You have plenty of time to get monitors into one room or find an establishment that's going to show games, you know, across Peacock and USA and NBC and all that. So plenty of time to get set up. You have to watch the Manchester City match against Aston Villa. You have to watch that. You have to watch Everton play Arsenal on the final day of the season. What other games are must-watch games?
Well, Liverpool, Wolves, obviously. You know, the job's not done until it's done. I also got my eye, Shay. You know, I hate to say it, but if West Ham win, Man United lose, I mean, I kind of got my eye on that little battle there. I mean, West Ham could pip Man United to Conference League, of course, but you know your Europe League for Man U could be tough in terms of recruitment.
I can't tell if you're joking, boss. I mean,
I'm serious.
I don't really know if solidifying that sixth versus seventh place. Sixth or seventh place to me doesn't really matter. I know it's additional competition in Europa. Yeah, you get a little bit of, you know, you get some money, but I don't think it helps for recruitment. Europa League for
versus
a team like Manchester United.
Versus Conference League?
I mean, well, versus Conference League, yes, that's worse. But I don't think Europa League, that all of a sudden you're going to be like, oh, everyone wants to come here and stop playing for Manchester United because they're in the Europa League, you know? And if anything, it just takes away the attention of being able to work on the team and do better in the Premier League next year. So I, you know, not to sound like a Debbie Downer or a sore loser, but I just really, you know, it just doesn't really do much for me, sixth or seventh.
The irony is you sound like both, right?
What? Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, Shay. Look, when it's, you know, maybe next year will be your year.
It's affecting my mood overall about the Premier League. I'm not going to lie. Now I find myself being one of those people who, when people talk about Manchester United's bad, I just say your team is worse, but I can't even say that to you guys. No, I'm going to be watching Everton-Arsenal. That's my game. I'm invested in this personally for two reasons. One, Everton still has a chance. You know, they can get like 15th, 14th place if they win. So that would be great. And then if Arsenal loses, I mean, the drama is going to come out of that. Oof.
I will say it's pretty crazy that Stevie G has the ability to affect both the top and the bottom of the table. Beating Man City, beating Burnley. What? That's a lot of power. That's like two of the, you know, infinity stones in one gauntlet right there. You know what I mean? Or is it all five? I don't know.
And the way Villa plays too, like, you don't know how they're going to play against Burnley or City either.
I
have a better idea of how they're going to fare against City probably, just because City's more consistent. But
did you guys see that Coutinho signed a permanent deal?
I was wondering whether or not he would be involved in these matches down the stretch. You know, assuming he hadn't signed a deal, I thought maybe they wouldn't really play him and said they would look to focus on players who are probably going to be there next season or experiment, given that their league position is solidified. But now I got hope. And have you seen the real rumor, Jay? I know you're excited in my house. I've seen that Villa are in to get Luis Suarez. Now, wouldn't that be crazy? Jeez. Getting the band back together again.
Can he play out of here. Can he play this Sunday? That's what I want to know. I mean, this is an opportunity for Stevie G to step onto the field and just recreate. Like, who's to say Sturridge doesn't come out of retirement for this?
I don't even think Sturridge is retired, right? He was in Turkey. Is he in Australia?
He's probably in.
Is he in the U.S.? You're right. We have no idea what we're going to get from Villa. Hey, Chris, you seem to say that Leon Bailey will be our savior. One Jamaican will make up for another Jamaican's missteps.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not going to be Leon Bailey, obviously. Ollie Watkins, there's some playmakers on that Aston Villa team that could, you know, make some noise. Yo, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk EFL playoffs. Those are ongoing, even though Premier League's live right now. Prediction league updates and some good listener questions. Thanks for submitting those on our Twitter at Across the Pond. We'll get to those shortly.
The video of Chet Hanks saying that he sort of invented patois or brought patois back.
Yeah, it was
and then the interviewer asked him what patois words he knows. Oh, I sent it to you. Oh, that's bad. I'm sorry, bro.
Don't disrespect Miles like that, though. Miles grew up with Jamaicans. He grew up playing with Jamaicans. Like, he could do that.
That's true.
He actually knows his stuff. We are back, guys. EFL playoffs happening. Anybody got the download on that? I have not been following, so would love to hear the latest.
Yeah, Luton got knocked out this afternoon, 1-0 to Huddersfield, 2-1 on aggregate. We have, you know, because I don't think we've talked about it, but Bournemouth and Scott Parker are coming back to the Premier League. They wrapped up second place. And then in the other half of the tie, you have Nottingham Forest versus Sheffield. And I think that's 2-1 on aggregate to Forest. So we'll see. I mean, Forest have been, because, you know, I follow the Leaky Cauldron guys in my spare time. You know, Forest had been kind of pressing all year and sort of fell away. And, you know, and they've had some managerial changes there. So we're going to see what happens. But I today was the first time that I watched. So I will be watching tomorrow.
Would love for not Forest to come back up. I mean, they get so much history in the Premier League. And, you know, we don't need any of these boring old Huddersfield, Sheffield. So, like, we don't need that. We don't need that. We got Burnley. If we got Burnley, we don't need him. If Burnley goes down, then sure, Huddersfield, you can come up. But we don't need that in the Premier League. I don't mean to sound elitist or anything like that. Just, you know, it's not fun. It's not exciting. This is not getting Shea out of the bed at, you know, 7 a.m. to watch Huddersfield play Man U.
For Miles. I mean, I know who you're rooting for because you have one of your many Premier League professional doppelgangers who's about to maybe make it back into the league. Jack Colback. I mean, can we talk about how – can we just mention that? Like, let's not forget about that.
Yeah, what a throwback. I can't believe this dude is still playing. Wow. There are a number of throwbacks, though. Didn't you say
shout.
Jerome?
That's a good shout, Jacob. Jack, wow. A.K.A. Jack Colby. We got the EFL Championship playoff on May 29th. That's at Wembley. Yo, Prediction League. We got very limited time left in the Prediction League, Shay. I know you've been stewarding us through this season. A lot of prizes won, a couple midweek matches, and then it all ends.
We got the last two Prediction League submissions to fill out. Right now, for the month of May, we got InstaChaz standing alone at 14 points. Now, granted, I mean, if someone was to, I guess, predict every game from today accurately through the last match week, they could tie him or her. So I suggest you get your picks in. InstaChaz is alone at 14. Then a bunch of people on 13. C.S. Lewis, talking about the first. So Spursy. Yeah, I mean, keep looking now. We are tracking the total cumulative on our end. So we will you know, let you know at the end of the season how we compare to other seasons. But for this month only, it's still early, but we got a new winner who will be crowned at the end of May with some new swag. For the January, February, March, April winners, they have been sent their swag. So keep filling it out and looking for the emails. Miles, you are Oracle. You stand alone on the ATP table for the month.
Careful,
and you had the
Miles.
second, and you had the second highest score this past match week. So, with that Oracle pick, who would you like to predict, or what team would you like to predict?
Okay, there's some games I can't talk about, so I'm not even gonna mess with that. So, I'm not gonna try to do anything about that. But I will say. And you know what, Shay? I've been picking against Man United recently, so I can't do that. We're talking about the final match week? Yeah, so I'm going to say Brentford beat Leeds. Go with Brentford, Leeds. Yeah. I'm sorry, I feel like this is going to be nail in the coffin. Brentford at home. I won't speak on the other matches. Don't ask me.
Well, you can make those picks with us. I mean, we've predicted 367 matches already. 367 matches. Got about 13 left, 14 left, something like that. Make sure you make those picks at AcrossThePond.co with us. And again, as Shay mentioned, surprises coming soon. Yo, we got listener questions on our Twitter at AcrossThePond a lot this week. First one up from BigBozo8 on Twitter. Giving out accolades since the season is nearly over, who's had the most drip on their chip this past year?
I like the question.
It's a good question. I kind of feel like no one's caught the eye, right? Am I crazy?
I mean, Calvert-Lewin, you could tell Everton ain't focused on football, because Calvert-Lewin, anytime he steps anywhere, he's wearing something new.
Well, you see that touch he had, and then the Charleston touch with the back, where the ball hit the back, back, and just went in his stride. Woo.
I mean, again,
that was drip, a different kind of drip.
Yeah, these guys ain't focused on winning. They're focused on some other things. But hey, you know, teach their own.
Yeah, I feel like we have, you know, a lot of the traditional candidates, obviously Calvert-Lewin, Calvin Phillips is always there. Probably got to give it to Grealish with the deal that he's made. And I don't know, he's just like, just looking at him, it's like, wow, his hair is beautiful. His calves are beautiful. Like, it's kind of hard to not pick him. But, you know, we got a lot of our classics, I think, really showed up this season. One disappointment, though, the lack of Firmino has really, you know, I think, offset the drip of meter. I think, you know, we're not operating with a full scale here because we haven't really seen him that much this season.
Dripometer,
yeah.
That's right, Miles. I think we're suffering a bit of drought here because along with that is no Lacazette, no Mr., you know, Farnsworth Bentley with the umbrella, no Mr. Swaggy Celebrations, no Jesse Lingard out there, you know, playing his flute.
And also, this past week, FA released a statement saying Saint-Maximin has been charged with two breaches of, like, some advertising regulation. He didn't have a headband today. Can't wear his headband. They're just trying to shut it all down, man.
It's been the season of anti-drip. Yeah, anti-drip. We got rid of the thermometer because we weren't impressed with the drip. it's been really sad, actually. I haven't really seen anything too impressive.
Great question.
It's a crackdown.
I mean, the drippiest thing we had all season was definitely that needless, offensive Luis Diaz control. I mean, totally needless as your first touch on the field, just as an FU. I mean, I know it wasn't in the league, but still.
Oh, I also want to highlight the drippiest thing of the season I saw was not discussed enough at length. Alisson Becker control in the FA Cup final with his thigh. I mean, come on. This is a goalkeeper. That was insane. Shay, come on, man. I almost slipped out of my seat. I was like, my goodness. We knew he was swaggy, but like, damn.
All right, y'all, this one from MTBomb55 on Twitter. Any summer window transfer predictions? Who will land Messi, Lingardinho? Well, I mean, we know Haaland settled. So, Miles, are you paying attention to any other rumors? Shay, any hopes for Manchester United recruitment? Anything for y'all?
I haven't seen anything noteworthy.
Yeah, I think we know a lot of players are going out, right? Pogba's probably leaving. Manu's probably clearing house. Rafinha's probably leaving Leeds. You know, but I don't think a lot of these players are staying in the Premier League. I think they're all...
Yeah, agreed.
Leaving, so I don't really know who's coming in other than Haaland. I mean, what's the point, really, Chris?
What's the point? Yeah, why sign anyone? Just allow it, right, Miles? Give in. Yeah. Hey, Miles, do you like those new City jerseys? Do you like those new City jerseys this year?
Actually, you know, talking about anti-drip, the new jerseys that are being leaked, not really seeing anything great so far either. I don't know what's going on. We know what they need. They need a little Soji Magic in the Premier League, because exactly. The style out here is not. Well, I don't know. Do you like the Man U jersey? That's like a little bit of throwback to the, you know.
Yeah, it's a little bit. I think era. I haven't really seen a jersey I'd liked since the Liverpool one this season.
Hey, Shay, we got an open spot, man. You're welcome to join us. Now's your chance.
I might pick one up on the drop tomorrow, but yeah, we'll see.
All right, y'all. This one from JRGardner91 on Twitter. Seriously, how did the best league in the world end up with the absolute worst referees in the world? We talked a lot about officiating this season, but again, weird calls, and VAR ain't saving it. But it was supposed to.
I mean, what calls? Yeah, I need Mandems to be more specific.
Jacob is the ref specialist here. We know it's touchy when we get to the ref.
Yeah.
We talk about refs.
We don't want Jacob to have to criticize his fellow refs.
No, there's some bad. Look, I'm not the Premier League referee, you know, association. I just want to know who they mean. I mean, I thought there have been some interesting calls. You know, how Fabinho doesn't get, you know, more yellows. He's in that Fernandinho zone right now. It's kind of crazy. I don't know. I thought there was a PK in the FA Cup final. I thought Konate fouled. We're going to need to be more specific here. But yeah, there's some bad refs out there. There's no doubt about that.
I mean, Shay still hasn't let go of that handball call back in the day.
That's a handball.
Terrible call. Some referees just have an ego. They have an ego.
Man knows.
All right.
Man knows.
This next one from Halber_Alex. Who wins the league?
I'm not going to say anything.
I prefer not to speak. If I speak, I get in trouble. Okay. It's obviously City, guys. And, you know, I'm going to be real. Part of me was hoping that Man City would have just won last weekend and Liverpool would have just rested it versus Southampton. And so part of me hopes that they kind of lose, because I just think it's over. It's been over. We don't need this thing to go till the end of the season. Let's, you know, consolidate, keep everyone healthy for Champions League. I mean, I want to win as many titles at the end of the day. And for men competing for the league at this point, you know, could inhibit that. You know, wouldn't you love to be able to rest your players and give Milner, Divock Origi, Takumi Minamino, Harvey Elliott, who else am I missing?
Curtis Jones,
Yeah, Curtis Jones. Like, give them their day out on the last day of the season and, you know, have a nice time.
All right. This one from Pete Catone 25. Will we see Norwich or Watford coming back up next year?
I hope not. I mean, you know, seriously, well, Norwich especially, like, the amount of times that they've come up and gone down in the last couple of years is like, you know, and they just come up to go back down bottom when they go down. So I'd rather see some more interesting blood come up. Like, if Nottingham Forest don't make it, I'd like to see them come up. Sunderland, you know, perhaps in a couple seasons they might be in the running. You know, they're finally making their way back up. So I'd just like to see some new blood. And Watford, we had love for you, but now I have no love for you.
I only want teams that can come up that can be Premier League ready. I just think the golf and quality is too big. You know, because of that, I kind of hope it is them. You know, those teams are the teams that have the infrastructure and the funds to maybe mount some sort of challenge to stay in the league. I mean, no one wants, like, you know, people say like, oh, Fulham or yo-yo club. But if you don't get those yo-yo clubs, instead you're just going to get teams that are going to be worse than Fulham, right? I mean, if the team who wins the championship can't do anything, then certainly, you know, Luton. And because I watched that game today, and I got to be honest, I was like, if they do make it into the league, how would it be a great story, right? I think it probably been smaller than Brentford Stadium. But, you know, what are we really talking about? Talking about Derby 2010 or 2011 all over.
Yeah. All right. This one from Rob Nace on Twitter. Which player in the Premier League do you think is the most valuable to his team this season?
That's a very good question. But I think Eriksen at Brentford, I know he came in, you know, halfway in, but there's that stat, Chris, you shared that earlier, that, you know, since he's arrived, only, you know, the big teams, Liverpool, City, and I think maybe Spurs, have won more games, secured more points. So hugely turned that team around. I almost ate my own words when they were close to the drop zone. I know Jacob was starting to plot his trolling text to me, but he's completely turned their fortunes around. So hopefully he stays. I don't know, Jacob, who do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a good shout, but he hasn't been there the whole season. And I think they probably would have been safe either way. He may be the most important player right now, but how could you overlook Heung-min Son? with the circus that has been Spurs since the beginning of the season, and the Charlie, I mean, we forget Charlie Kane behind his terrible looking desk was at the beginning of the season. That's how long the season felt like it's gone on for. It has to be Heung-Min Son. He's picked up the slack. He's been huge. And I think he, if the Spurs finish in the top four, I think he would probably would have been the most valuable.
No mention of the guy who's leading the Golden Boot race and assist race.
Now, I don't know. How can you say it's Mo Salah? I mean, I don't want to sleep. Are we sleeping on him?
It's hard for me not to look at the guy who's leading these very important statistical columns. Like, fuck it, Mo Salah. And I know Liverpool has so many good players and so many other players. And, you know, Salah hasn't been his best the last few weeks, but he's still sitting at the top of these lists.
I think that's a fair shout. I mean, without those goals, where's Liverpool? You know, and he, when he was on fire, like he was tearing it up.
Yeah, that's true.
It's also a guy.
You make a good point, Chris.
He missed a month of the season too. Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm looking down, like I'm just looking at goal scoring charts here, and I'm trying to think, are we overlooking Jared Bowen and what he meant for this West Ham season? I mean, like, that's a team with limited attacking resources. He's been great.
All right, y'all, any final thoughts before we head into this final weekend?
It's been a great season. Last season was a real disappointment. I'm just happy to do this again with y'all. It's been really fun having fans back, watching the Premier League in full throttle, a title race going down the last day. You know, it's just been a great season. It's getting emotional here.
Yeah, I mean, just do everything you were doing in the cup final, Chris. Don't change, man. Miles, wear the same clothes.
Don't change. Everyone stay the same. Do the same ritual.
All right, y'all. You can find us at AcrossThePond.co, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more. At Across the Pond on Twitter. Plenty of opportunities for drama this weekend. Don't forget, midweek matches still. Liverpool plays Tuesday. Everton. Burnley. Who else plays Thursday? Leicester. Villa, Crystal Palace, Chelsea, all those teams play Thursday, and then Sunday, again, all matches played at the same time. Sunday, 11 a.m. Eastern. Make sure you catch that action. There's going to be some drama. Some managers get sacked.
Aguero!
Some managers get sacked Monday, for sure. I don't want to bully teams right now or fans of teams right now.
Did you see Palace's performance this weekend on the beach?